give up your vows.
Good afternoon to you all. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show. Shukri Wright's here filling in for the voicemobile hosted by Joyce herself here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. The show will be starting up in about 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere. Good afternoon to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is the special edition of the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Wednesday afternoon here in Greater Boston. If you're listening to the show live, you can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I know it's been a very tough Wednesday for a lot of people here, especially for the last 24 hours. Let's be honest. We have been under some sort of nor'easter that has been absolutely ugly, to say the least. When I was last on the airwaves on Monday, I had no idea just how bad the storm was going to be. But as it turned out, bad enough where, frankly, it woke me up multiple times over the night, last night into this morning. I mean, you talk about winds blowing 60 miles per hour, and if you're on the Cape listening to the program, like, you had winds that were registered at 70, 80 miles per hour, and that's not even an exaggeration, according to the local meteorologists across the local stations here in Boston and Metro Boston. So, for all of you who are hanging in there, whether you're on the Cape, South Coast, Massachusetts, coastal Rhode Island, hope you are staying safe, staying warm to the best of your capabilities, and that you are able to make the best out of what is really a rough situation for a lot of people right now because of this storm. So allow me to entertain you for the next couple of hours as I will be here with you until 5 p.m., and we got a lot to get into over the next couple of hours, so we're just going to jump right into it. Let's start with the New England Patriots, because I was thinking about this on the way here. And I think it's befitting that we have an opportunity to talk about this ad nauseum. Because if you are the Patriots and you're looking at this week's game, we're not talking about 3 weeks ahead, 4 weeks ahead, 5 weeks ahead, or anything like that. We're talking about just specifically this game coming up on Sunday against the Chargers. How huge is this game for the New England Patriots? We talked about on Monday during the regular scheduled Shukri Wright Show, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Monday nights, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO, that the win against the New York Jets was huge. It was huge in terms of keeping the Patriots' playoff chances alive, and that had they lost, they would have fell to 2-5, and that their opportunity to make the playoffs would have gotten slimmer. Especially when you look at the teams that are on the bubble, on the cusp of being in the hunt. The Patriots currently are on the bubble, borderline in the hunt for a playoff spot. But as I've said before in this program, and I'll say it again, how many times have I said that the 2021 New England Patriots, I genuinely do not know what to make of this team? That was a few weeks ago. Now, if a caller were to call in right now and ask me, hey, Shu, what do you make of this 2021 New England Patriots team so far? Through seven games, I would have said, truthfully, this is not a bad team, but it's not a good team either. They're beginning to figure things out, especially when it comes to situational football. But what has me most confused is we have seen a tale of two teams so far this season. First tale of the New England Patriots that we've seen so far is they've come close, but no cigar. Ladies and gentlemen, for those who are fans of the Patriots, who have been watching the Patriots and so forth, how many games have you seen with the Patriots where they're just right there? They are just right there, but can't finish the job. Three that at least comes to mind for me. Three. The Miami Dolphins game, the Buccaneers game, and the Dallas Cowboys game. Those three games come to mind. Now, you go on the road. You're traveling out west. You're traveling out west to Los Angeles. You got the Chargers coming up on Sunday. Why did I deem this game as a massive game for the Patriots? Why? Number one, what is usually the line of demarcation for playoff teams and non-playoff teams? Can you win on the road? Can you? For the 2021 New England Patriots, you wonder, can you win on the road? But Shukri, they haven't lost on the road yet. They beat the New York Jets on the road. They beat the Houston Texans. Congratulations. You beat two of the worst teams in football on the road. I'm not impressed. I am genuinely not impressed. Now, I hate to take the page out of Mr. Negativity here, but Patriot fans, can we be honest with ourselves for just a moment, please? Is that too much to ask for? I hope not. Because if we're being completely honest with ourselves, those two wins on the road absolutely should have come a bit more convincingly. The Jets, I'm not going to say make fun of the Jets, but let's be honest. In the way that they scored in that game, they were trying to figure things out offensively, running the ball, throwing the ball at times in select situations where I was saying on Twitter they should be a lot more aggressive. That's number one. Number two, the Houston Texans, that game, ladies and gentlemen, if we're honest, They had no bleeping business trailing and playing that poorly the way that they did before the Patriots came back to win that game in the second half. They had no business whatsoever playing that poorly against an organization. And now I'm going to sit here and blast the Houston Texans organization for just a moment and tell you, against an organization and a team, more or less, that is an absolute mess, that's got a dark cloud the size of Hurricane Ida hanging over the Houston organization right now, they had no business whatsoever playing that poorly defensively. The secondary should not have gotten scorched by Davis Mills, of all people. So those are the two road wins for the New England Patriots in 2021. Kudos. And oh, by the way, the Patriots finally got their first home win of the season. So, they're going to Los Angeles. They're facing the Chargers. And by the way, the Chargers are a pretty darn good team. A really good team. They beat the Chiefs on the road. They beat Cleveland as well. And they also beat another team that I thought was a pretty impressive win as well. Now, let's go back. They should have beat the Cowboys, if we're being honest, in week two. But they beat the Raiders as well. This is a team that's played some pretty good football. And oh, by the way, Justin Herbert, one of the better young quarterbacks in the NFL this season. And he's been on the up and up over the last two seasons. He has. Now, he is at a point now where you look at him and you say, man, this dude is for real. This is a bad man. I mean, how could you not? How could you not? You look at Justin Herbert, you look at what the Chargers offense has been able to do in terms of offensive production and as well as defensively as well. How are you not impressed with what the Los Angeles Chargers have been able to do so far? Like, how? Like, if we're going to be real with ourselves, let's be totally honest about something here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm serious. Very serious. Let's admit right now that Justin Herbert, and as well as they got a decent run game, not a great running game. They have a pretty decent run game. But the passing options that they got between, and I'm naming the weapons that they have, like Jared Cook, for example, Keenan Allen is a guy who I've looked at over the last few years as one of the preeminent receivers in football. So if you're the New England Patriots, you're going to have your hands full with Keenan Allen this Sunday. And then also, not to forget about Mike Williams or Andre Roberts as well. But especially Keenan Allen. So, if the Patriots are going to continue to write the season in the right direction, they absolutely have to win this Sunday on the road against the Chargers. It's a must win. Why? Because what was the last road win for the New England Patriots that you looked at and you say that was a quality road win in the last 2 years? Who would you say? Now, again, I'm going to pose you the question again. Think back the last two seasons. If you are the New England Patriots, what was the last quality road win for this team? For me, in my opinion, you got to go back to Tom Brady's last season as a Patriot. The game against the Philadelphia Eagles in the 2019 season. Oh, I remember this was part of a stretch where Tom Brady was absolutely pissed. He was not happy with the offense, and he had made it very known To everyone out there, he is not happy with the offense and the direction that they were going. He knew it at the time, and it turned out to be that he was right. That this was a team that was in decay. So with that being said, you have to go back 2 years. 2 years in which that the Patriots have had their last quality road win against a team that was a playoff team. 2 years. Sunday, you're going to have your big test. Not a small one, a big one. Because if you are a team that you believe that can make a playoff run, and I mentioned this, that they got four out of the next five games are on the road. They need Sunday's game against the Chargers. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if you need a refresher as to who they got coming up, they got the game in Los Angeles, in Carolina, home against the Browns, at Atlanta on Thursday Night Football. They're home against the Titans, and then they're on the road against the Buffalo Bills. So let me correct myself quickly and say four of the next six games are on the road. And if you look at the opponents, Chargers, maybe the Panthers, Titans, and Bills, all playoff caliber teams. The Browns, that remains to be seen. We will have to wait and see. Maybe the Browns. But since we are in the business of radio and conjuring up debate and discussion, let's include the Browns as part of this discussion. The Browns, I say, they are a playoff team. Because let's be honest, the Cleveland Browns, who are they this season? Like, honestly, who are they? Is this a team that we should take seriously? Or is this a team that you're like, ho-hum, They lost on the road to start their season to the Chiefs. They pummeled the Browns. They barely beat Minnesota. They barely lost to the Chargers. They got annihilated by Arizona. I mean, who hasn't gotten annihilated by Arizona? Look at the offensive juggernaut that they are this season. They barely beat the Broncos. This is a very mixed bag team that I'm not even sure whether to really make them a playoff team. But again, I only did that for the sake of discussion and for the sake of argument. So as I said, for the sake of argument, five of the next six games are against playoff caliber teams. Now, when I say playoff caliber, I mean when you look at the rosters and you look at the talent on those rosters, those are teams that you look at and say, this could potentially be a playoff team if they get hot at the right time. The only one I left off was the Atlanta Falcons. That's it. But going back to what I was saying, they got a big test on Sunday against Justin Herbert in that Charger offense. Because let's be honest, we all know this based on the games that we've seen this season. The Patriots secondary should worry you. And they took a big hit losing Jonathan Jones for the season. That's something that I think Patriot fans are going to need to think about and think about heavy. If you are New England at this point, I do wonder if you are thinking about what happens if this team wins on Sunday. Like, what if they do win? What does it mean? It could mean a lot of things. It really could. It can mean that perhaps, they're 500. Are they a playoff team? Could this team make the playoffs? Or is this a team that you look at and you say, okay, they're showing me something. They really are showing me a lot more than what I've seen the first 4 weeks of the season. But this game against the Chargers on Sunday is a massive test for this organization. Excuse me. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We are just getting started with this program. Here with you until 5 o'clock right here on 91.5 FM WMFO. Coming up next, we're going to talk about a particular story that broke out in the NHL earlier this year that finally came to a screeching conclusion, both in which that I believe justice was not completely served. I'm going to tell you exactly what that story is coming up next. Right here on the Shukri Wright Show, filling in for the Voice Mobile, Joyce the Voice. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
One to love and one to lose. Sweet divine, the heavy truth. What do I want? Don't make me choose. I wanna feel the way that we did that summer night. Drunk on a feeling, alone with the stars in the sky. I'll be running.
Welcome back to the Shook Your Right Show at 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tuss Freeform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to tune into the program today. Filling in for the Voicemobile, Joyce the Voice. She is out today. She will be back again next week. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. as she usually is every Wednesdays during her normal time slot. Just want to go over this reminder real quick. You can listen to all editions of the Sugar Ray Show on 91.5 FM WMFO on demand on iHeartRadio and the Odyssey app and wherever you get the Sugar Rates podcast. The Sugar Rates podcast is available on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, as well as Spotify and wherever else you get your podcast from as well. Listeners, if you're listening to the program right now, you can call in the 855-915-WMFO. That is 855-915-9636. Or follow me on Twitter at Shukri Writes. That's at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. That is how you can follow me on social media as well. Now, in sports, oftentimes we don't see true justice executed in a manner in which it should be. Oftentimes or not, we like to see sports leagues or teams use certain language to make it appear or seem that everything is or was being done within their power to execute and to basically lay down the land of the law of the land, rather. But in the case of the Chicago Blackhawks, and there's a reason why I want to bring this up, because we need to have an honest conversation about something here. The Chicago Blackhawks yesterday, and even today as the news broke, Stan Bowman resigned as the GM of the Chicago Blackhawks. The same man who built three Stanley Cup championship teams in the 2010s with the Chicago Blackhawks as they won the Cup in 2010, 2013, and 2015. But the information that was found in their investigation, the NHL investigation that was led by the law firm Jenner and Block, which was commissioned by the Blackhawks, concluded that nothing was done by senior leaders in Blackhawks coaching and management in 2010 to take action against former video coach Brad Aldridge, who faced allegations of sexual harassment, sexual assault, and misconduct with a player. There's levels of grossness to this situation and to this story. I mean, number one, you knew that this happened, but as it turned out, that your excuse was you did not want bad PR in the midst of a Chicago Blackhawks Stanley Cup championship run that was during the spring of 2010. So basically, what you did without actually saying it was, screw you, victim. We're going for the cup right now. That's all that matters. Your complaints and your cries for help did not matter. Does not matter. That's exactly what basically the management and the team did. We all talk about wanting to take sexual assault and rape seriously, right? But here we are in another example in a long list of examples in sports, whereas you have organizations, you have teams that are out there and they know about what happened and what's going on and do absolutely nothing about it. But Shukri, how could you possibly say that? Do I have to remind anybody of what happened 10 years ago this fall with Penn State and Jerry Sandusky? Oh, that's right. That was 10 years ago when the nation and the sports world was turned on its heels with the Jerry Sandusky revelations and trial for the fact that he raped and molested over 400 plus boys during his time as coach at Penn State. The Blackhawks, what this situation told me was, yeah, this happened to you. Oh, well. But we're in the midst of celebrating a Stanley Cup. We don't need any negative press. So Stan Bowman got exactly what he should have gotten. He should have gotten fired. But no, he resigned. That's part of the problem. I'm going to play for you a clip. This is courtesy of ESPN.com as it pertains to the story on the Chicago Blackhawks and everything that transpired in 2010. Take a listen.
Stan Bowman resigned as president of hockey operations at the Chicago Blackhawks. Another senior team official, Al McIsaac, is also out. And the team has been fined $2 million by the NHL for the organization's inadequate internal procedures. It's all collateral from a report released Tuesday detailing how the team handled sexual assault allegations towards a former video coach, Brad Aldridge, during their 2010 Stanley Cup run.
The report is both disturbing and difficult to read. It speaks for itself.
In May 2021, a former Blackhawks player listed as John Doe filed a lawsuit saying Aldridge sexually assaulted him and another player in 2010. Aldridge also allegedly threatened to harm his career. John Doe was just 20 and a Black ace, a minor league player called up for the playoff run. Once the story became public, the Blackhawks commissioned the law firm Jenner & Block, led by Reed Schar, a former U.S. attorney, to investigate. Schar and his team interviewed 139 people, including Aldridge and John Doe. Both men confirmed a sexual encounter happened. John Doe said it was not consensual. Aldridge said it was. Days after the encounter, McIsaac was informed of the allegations. And days after that, a group of team executives and then head coach Joel Quenneville met to discuss what happened. Schar said that accounts of that meeting vary significantly. But ultimately, Aldridge remained with the team through the Stanley Cup celebrations. He even had his own day with the Stanley Cup. But in that time, a 22-year-old Blackhawks intern said Aldridge also made a sexual advance towards him. In June 2010, Aldridge met with the Director of Human Resources. He was given the option to resign or participate in an investigation. Aldridge resigned, and no investigation occurred following his departure.
What is clear is that after being informed of Aldridge's alleged sexual harassment and misconduct with a player, no action was taken for 3 weeks. The Blackhawks' own sexual harassment policy, which required investigation of all reports of sexual harassment to be conducted promptly and thoroughly, was violated.
In 2013, Aldridge was convicted in Michigan of fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct involving a high school student. He is now on Michigan's Registry of Sex Offenders. As one player on the 2010 Blackhawks team told ESPN, the team's investigation being made public on Tuesday led to some catharsis. "I'm just glad that justice has been served in some way," the player said. "I'm sorry it took this long and caused so much pain, but it's the right outcome."
It is clear that in 2010, the executives of this organization put team performance above all else. John Doe deserved better from the Blackhawks.
That was Greg Wyshynski on the column on ESPN, of ESPN. And I'm not sure exactly who it was in the video, but it sounded like it may have been Emily Kaplan. But in case if it was in fact her, I just want to give her credit as well on that report. Now, as you heard in that clip, they prioritized winning above all else. But the part that disturbed me was the fact that the player that was on that 2010 Blackhawks team saying that, "I'm sorry that it took this long and that justice was served. Nor wasn't. Was justice served? How so? Can John Doe, and for the young audience that's listening, if you don't know who John Doe is, John Doe is a legal term of a name to keep the victim anonymous, to avoid any sort of exposure when it comes to like rape, sexual assault, like things along those lines, for as an example, but primarily focusing on that. Justice was not served. Because if it was the case, why did it take this long? How could the Blackhawks allow this to just go on and go on and go on and allow time to pass without any sort of investigation? That, to me, makes this whole situation so disturbing. And I gotta ask this question, in all seriousness. When is sports as a whole, and I'm not just talking only about the Blackhawks, because I mentioned about the Penn State, Jerry Sandusky situation that was 10 years ago, this month. When is sports going to learn that winning is not everything, especially when it comes to members of your own team being victims of rape, molestation, or sexual assault? Winning is everything. It's the only thing. Is it? So if a member of your own team comes forth to upper management and says, hey, something happened to me, and I want to file a report about this, you're going to turn a blind eye or turn the other cheek away? Is that what you're going to do? Because it goes back to my earlier point about this has happened too many times in sports. And I'm not only talking about male professional sports, because this happens as well, especially in women's sports. Unfortunately, that we don't even know about because we haven't even heard about it. So when I say that this is happening in sports too often, I'm not only talking about the men. I'm also talking about women. Because they deserve to be heard too. So now I'm addressing this as a scholastic issue involving both genders, not leaving one out over the other. I feel like the Blackhawks got off light. $2 million fine for one of your black ace players that was a part of the 2010 Stanley Cup championship run, and ultimately was basically said, hey, no. Shh. After having filed the report, and everything was kept a hush-hush. Because if you really gave a damn, why the hell did you wait to make action after the fact that John Doe came forth and filed a lawsuit against the Chicago Blackhawks? This is really, just really disturbing in every sense. There's no other way to put it. Defenseman Connor Murphy said that the culture of the team has changed for the better over the years. He said in the article, that was, which was written by Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Murphy, the defenseman of the Blackhawks, said, quote, it was a very sad day to see that release and to hear these stories. Your heart goes out to the victims. It's a very serious thing. That's very sad and tragic what happened. As present players, we're very lucky with the state of the organization the last few years. The core values of this organization and this culture are first class. It's very tragic to see that happen in the past. Unquote. It's awfully hard to sit here and say, well, It's happened in the past. It's the past. It's done. We moved on. No, you don't get to determine whether if someone moves on from something traumatic as this, especially the victim. And I think it's imperative that we really take this quote that Alex DeBrincat, the forward for the Chicago Blackhawks, said. He said that after hearing from management that the team can, quote, not move on from it, but learn from it and make sure it doesn't happen again as an organization. He's right. This isn't about moving on from it and pretending it didn't happen, because it did happen on your watch and you knew about it and you did nothing about it for 10 plus years. You did nothing about it. But they have to learn from it. And the first step was for Stan Bowman to be removed, to resign. Sure. Is that the only thing that should have happened? No. Frankly, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, strip the team for the Stanley Cup title. That's just ludicrous and asinine. No. No way. But what I am going to say is this. Part of the punishment should be loss of draft picks. I think that's fair. Because this is an organizational failure that's not being held against the current players that had nothing to do with what happened in 2010. But the punishment should have been much more severe than a $2 million fine. It's a heavy story, and I know there's quite a few people who are victims of such traumatic instances and so forth. However, I do think that it was absolutely important to bring forth this story, because we need to have more conversations about this. I really do believe so. And on a side note, the Blackhawks, they're struggling right now big time. Like, this is a team that had a lot of high hopes going into the season. And unfortunately, truth is, they have not gone off to the best of starts to start the season. The goaltending has been an issue, but it's been a byproduct of the team defensively in front of him that has been bad. They are 31st in the league in goals against per game at 4.50. Although their penalty kill has been solid, they have the third best penalty kill in the league so far this season. But, however, I do think that the Blackhawks, they have had struggles this season. Not just on the ice, but as it turned out, as well in the front office. Coming up next, we're going to talk some baseball, because there was a moment in last night's game that had me thinking, whoa, this just might be the moment. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm talking about. Coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio.
Story about a little guy that lives in a blue Yo, listen up, here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue, like him inside and outside. Blue his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, 'cause he ain't got nobody to listen to.
I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-dye, 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 da-ba-dee-da-ba-dye. I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-dye, 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 da-ba-dee-da-ba-dye.
Face it, life looks a little different.
During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy.
So we don't miss out on what matters.
Like having game night at home.
Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest.
Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now. No one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot.
Find out more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
The kisses of the sun were sweet. I didn't blink. I let it in my eyes. Like an exotic drink, the radio playing songs that I have never heard. I don't know what to say. Oh, not another word, just like